It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome back to Naomi's Table, everyone. This is our Bible study segment, and we are back in the book of Habakkuk, and this is chapter 3 we're doing today, and our teacher, Connie Stampfel, is here. Connie, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you. It's a beautiful day to be here.
Well, what are we talking about in chapter 3 today?
Well, in Habakkuk, we've been going through this dialogue, this question-answer cycle between Habakkuk the prophet and the Lord, and today, after everything we've covered in the first two chapters, Habakkuk's response is actually a prayer. Mm. And it's beautiful because we really think it was a prayer that was sung. And, you know, well, there's some tips in the text that are going to let us know that, but we're going to work through this over the next 5 days and really get an understanding of how Habakkuk grew through this process of writing on the vision the Lord gave him.
And all of the notes are on our website under the Bible Studies tab that you'll find at naomistable.com, and as well as these recorded 10-minute Bible study segments, and we highly recommend you go there. Download those, use them around your own table with women in your life, and then you can use the notes to help guide you along.
Excellent, yes.
All right, let's begin.
Okay, well, today we are going to dive into Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're just going to do a couple of verses, only verses 1 and 2. And so a couple preliminary things we're going to notice as we come to the text here. First, it says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigonoth. And that word prayer is used a couple of times in Psalms, and it's kind of a special word for prayer, and it can mean intercession. But actually, because of how it's used in several Psalms, we're thinking, this might have been sung. Okay, so we start there. And then again, this is interesting. Habakkuk is one of those few prophets where he's actually called a prophet. And it's almost like God needs to validate him because it's such an unusual book. It's not kind of like the typical prophecy. And so in the beginning and then here in chapter 3, we can find out that Habakkuk is a prophet. And then finally, at the end of verse 1 here, it says, according to Shigonoth. And we're like, what in the world is that? And truly, you don't know. It's only used in one other place in the Bible, and that's in Psalm 7, verse 1. And so it seems like it's probably some type of musical term or meaning a psalm or a lament that's sung. And it definitely fits with what happens in the rest of chapter 3 because it flows and reads like a psalm. And we get also a couple more of those markings, musical markings, the Selah. That is found in the Psalms. And so, okay, looks like this probably was sung. And it is beautifully written and would certainly fit for that. So we find out that after this cycle of the prophet noticing Judah's sin, finding out that God's going to discipline Judah through the Babylonians, that wicked, evil nation, and then finding out God's going to eventually discipline the Babylonians. And at the end, Habakkuk is to the point where all he can do is worship. And so that worship comes through in chapter 3 as this song or psalm or prayer. And so the prophet starts out by saying, O Lord, I've heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And so we find that the prophet again is calling out to the Lord, the covenant name of the God of Israel, Yahweh. And he said, I've heard the report of you. And so that again speaks to those times when we know and have heard of God's works. And he talks about God's, and he says, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. And that work really refers to those mighty deeds of the Lord where he did awesome things for the children of Israel. We think of parting the Red Sea and the time in the desert during the Exodus. And so those kind of works is what he's already thinking of. And we're going to find that's going to come up in the rest of the chapter. We're going to be looking at those great, great deeds of power. And so I'm going to read to us Psalm 44:1, which speaks again to those great deeds. And that says, O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. And then also when we think again about that mighty work and how we're to remember what God has done, Psalm 90, verse 16 says something similar. It says, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. And so Habakkuk is already remembering the God he knows and what he's already done in the history of Israel. And then he's going to go forward and he says, in the midst of the years, revive it. those Hebrew words for midst of the years really means quicken or bring it quickly. And so he's saying, Lord, it looks really bad. Come quickly, kind of idea. And then when he says revive it, he really means renew it. Once again, act in mercy, act in great power for us because we need your help. And so that's what he says again. The rest of the verse says, in the midst of the years, make it known. And then he says, in wrath, remember mercy. And he's remembering again who this covenant God is, who disciplines sin, but also has mercy on those who are his own. And that Hebrew word for mercy is a little bit different than we usually know. It's the word rachem, and it really means pity or compassion, or can sometimes be used for love. And so it's again saying, Lord, we don't deserve anything, but please be kind to us, be compassionate, have pity on us in our poor state. And that makes us think of Psalm 77:9, which the same word is used, and it really tells us again about how, as people, we're dependent upon the mercy of the Lord. We can't do it on our own. We have to call out to him. And so Psalm 77:9 says, has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? And of course the answer is no. God doesn't do that. I mean, he does discipline, but for those who call out to him and trust him and look to him, he is gracious and compassionate and has mercy for them. So, we come to this bit of just two verses here in Habakkuk, and we find again that the prophet is calling to God, and he knows what God's going to do. He knows he's a holy, just God who will deal with sin, but he also knows he can cry out for mercy, and God will answer and respond. And so that's just a beautiful, beautiful picture of our God and how he treats us. All of Psalm 90 is similar, and it just talks about God's mighty deeds and then how we depend on God. But that makes me think of where we find, again, God's mercy so strongly emphasized in the New Testament. And so we're going to go to Romans chapter 11, and we're going to hear again how truly, I mean, we talked about this last week, none of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve forgiveness. It's only happened and been accomplished through Jesus Christ, who bore the wrath of God for our sins. But there's that same concept of mercy where God gives us what we don't deserve. He sees our state of sin and how we're lost and helpless, and then he provides what we need. So I'm going to go to Romans, and it's chapter 11, verse 25. And Paul is talking about how neither the Jews nor the Gentiles have been able to be holy in God's sight. They've all sinned. And so Paul says, this is Romans 11, verse 25, lest you be wise in your own sight, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, and this will be my covenant with him when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have been disobedient, so that by the mercy shown to you, they may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. And so again, all of us are in the same place where we need to cast ourselves upon the mercy of our good God. And then the rest of Romans 11 ends with just a beautiful prayer of praise to God. And I'm going to read it because it's going to fit into what Habakkuk is going to be doing in the rest of the chapter. And so verses 33 to 39 says, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.
That is such a lovely scripture. And you know, the title of this one, if you're looking for it on the notes page, is Remember Mercy. And that is becoming the prayer now. I went from complaining to prayer all the way up here in chapter 3, and we're on verses 1 and 2. And I highly recommend you download these notes today, Connie. Thank you so much. And we're going to take a little break and be right back.